Psalm 91. Amen. If you're there with us, say amen. Amen. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, amen. We're going to get tied down here, amen. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by the day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 9, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Amen. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Verse 14. Because He hath set His love upon me. Amen. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. When you get to Psalm 91, this is a psalm that we believe is written by Moses. Psalm 90 and 91 are the psalms written by Moses. And when you get to this psalm, Moses is reflecting back on the last 40 years. The little sand glass of time of 40 years has run out, and Israel's about to face judgment and the final punishments of death. And the time frame is running out. The sand is flowing quickly, and Moses is thinking back over these years and what they've faced and the terror that they've seen, the trouble that they've faced. And Moses is writing about this to let us know that in the midst of terror, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of temptation, in those times of our life, that there is a help and a refuge. And Moses highly exalts that here. I'm going to try not to get tied down, but I'm probably going to get happy in just a minute about this. If you don't get happy about the Word of God, then you better get a heart checkup. Moses is writing here, and this is the only passage of Scripture that is quoted by Satan. It's quoted in the book of Matthew 4 in the temptation of Christ. Now, Satan well knows the Scriptures, but when he went to use it, he misused it. With the intent to tell Christ, cast thyself down. I'll get there in a little bit, hopefully. But he misused the Scripture with the intent to say, the angels that gird thee up. But Christ refuted him with other Scripture, with truth, to let Satan know that there may be times in life, as Moses gives us here in chapter 91, there are times in life when you face troubles, you face terrors, you face temptations, but there's a God who is there to undergird you. There is a God who is there to help you. He is the faithful God. There is a God who knows the trouble you're walking through. Because in that hurt we find so many times, Brother Joe, we find in hurts, in discomforts, in hardships, in the troubles of life, we find four different places that people run to. Many people in that hardship will run to a parent. And parents know how to give good consolation. But they're not Jesus. And many people will turn to a pal or a friend. And I've got friends sitting in this room that I call sometimes. Brother Joe, they can give me good help. But they're not Jesus. And there are some who in the trouble and the hardship run to a place. It might be a mountain home. It might be a beach home. But they find their place of refuge. But that place is not the person that I run to. I run to a person called Jesus Christ. And Jesus lets us know through the writing of Moses that in the troubles, in the hardships, in the difficulties, there is somebody in the midst of them. Now, I believe that Moses is writing to encourage the people of God. This is a song, but he's writing to encourage the people of God and to remember what God gave him. And he recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them." Aren't you glad tonight that you have a God that's for you? His arms are under you, and he can cast out your enemies. Amen. That's the God that works for us. So just take a few moments and try to look through this real quick. We'll go as far as we can, and then we'll cut it off and come back. These verses that Moses is writing, we see the great God at work in Moses' life, but we see the great God at work in our life. So let's look at three things here. We'll get as far as we can. Number one, in times of trouble, I have a hiding place. In times of trouble, amen, I have a hiding place. Notice in the trouble what Moses has to say about this fortress. Now, there are four names of God given in the first two verses. Don't miss them. You have the name Most High. You have the name Almighty. You say, "Brother Tom, that's not a name of God." I'll give it to you in a minute. We'll give you the Hebrew name. Just stay with me. The Most High, the Almighty. Verse number two, the Lord and my God. Four names that Moses uses for God to describe the fortress in his time of trouble. Number one, the Most High. The Most High. That is God El Elyon. God El Elyon, my possessor. He is the God that owns it all. He is the God that supplies it all. He is the possessor of heaven and earth, as Abraham found out in the book of Genesis. Colossians 1:16, Paul said, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The God El Elyon is found 36 times in the scriptures. He is the possessor of all things. Now, this probably doesn't mean much to you, but I am overwhelmed, Brother Jose, when I drive down the road day after day, like many of you, up and down I-75, and when you drive by 25 semi-trucks on your way to work every morning, and you get overwhelmed by all the metal that exists. Brother Earl, there's a God, Elyon, that possesses all the ore that has ever been mined from the earth to make every one of them thousands upon thousands upon thousands of rigs, Brother Tag, that roam this country and the world. You say, "That's not very much, Brother Tom." That's big to me. There is a God Elyon that is the possessor of all that ore, the possessor of all things. And if he's the possessor of all, then that also makes him the provider of all, the Almighty. That is God El Shaddai. God El Shaddai, the Almighty provider. Not only does he own it, but he gives it. He not only owns it all, but he can give it all. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you have need of. I don't know, Brother Earl, what all of God's people have need of in this room tonight. But I know God El Shaddai, who is God El Yon, who owns it all, and Brother Don can supply it all. And he has it available for his children who love him. That's down there in verse number 14. God has all for you, the child who loves him. God Elyon, the one who owns it all. God El Shaddai, the one who provides it. And then he says in verse number 3, here's my fortress, the Lord. That is Jehovah. Not only the provider, not only the possessor, but now he's dealing with the promise. The God of promise. Jehovah. You find Jehovah, the great I am, over 7,900 times in the Bible. That's pretty big to me. 7,900 times you find Jehovah God, the God that said to Moses, I am. I am the immutable, unchangeable one, the holy one, the one that is a triune God, the three in one, Jehovah, the God of promise. And then he says, number four, he says, my God, the possessor, the provision, the one who is altogether the promise to his people. But then he says, my God, and that is God Elohim. God Elohim, and that is the God of power. Now, I hope y'all get this. When I read this yesterday morning, Brother Joe, when I read this yesterday morning, I got overwhelmed. I jumped up and down on top of my desk, and you say you did not. I dare you to go look for the footprints on my desk. I had myself a time with this right here, Brother Earl. The God of power, Jehovah Elohim, the triune God, the three in one. Now you stop to think about that. The God of all power. Now, Mr. English major, if I were to walk up to you and said, we is going to Atlanta. Look, he just rolled his eyes, turned his head. He won't even look me eyeball to eyeball. But did you know that this term Elohim, Brother Harper knows, this term Elohim is a plural noun that is always used in the Word of God with a singular verb. So when I say we is going to Atlanta, that's improper grammar. I know that. My mom put that in my mind, in my head. I know that's improper. But when God says we is, that's picking up business. Because that's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They is. That may not mean much to you, but I'm glad I got something I can tell my mama. I can say of God, we is. God is. The Elohim, all-powerful God that created this universe. I said I was going to get tied up. We're going to pick up next week because I'm just going to shut it down. I hope y'all have been encouraged because it's going to take me a while to get through the next 2 points. I just want to say we serve a God that is all powerful. He owns it all. He's the possessor. He is the great provider, and he has promised to his children. I'll get there next week. Lord willing, we'll get to the end. He has promised it to those who love him because he set his love upon me. God said, because he set his love upon me, I'll hear him and I'll answer him. The God who owns it, the God who provides it, the God who has made promise is the God of all power that says, I can and I will, I have, I can provide. He is Jehovah God Elohim, the God of all power. Amen. Who is in my trouble, in my time of trouble, he is a refuge, my hiding place. David says, in my trouble, I have a fortress. But then David considers in his trouble real fast, he considers his foes. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. When David considers the foes in his time of trouble, he says, I have foes coming, one from a person and one from a pestilence. Have you ever been in a place where it seemed like everybody was against you? I just want to stop and say, I don't think we've known it as bad as many Christians before us. Sunday school, Sunday morning, we're in Acts chapter 12, dealing with the persecution of the early church. And let me say, much of persecution has been upon the church throughout the centuries. But the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The church will always stand, for it's founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ. And the gates of hell cannot prevail. That old fowler, Satan, the cursed one, the adversary, the roaring lion, he may rear his head and come against you with his arrows, but he cannot conquer you. He cannot have your soul that's been given to Christ. And no matter what trouble you face from the foe, no matter it be person or pestilence, there is a God who is my hiding place, who undergirds me with his arms, who is my great protector. Charles Chiniquy, a former Catholic priest who left the Catholic Church in the 1800s and converted to Christianity and began ministering as a Presbyterian evangelical minister, he rode the lecture circuit in the United States and in southern Canada. 23 times Charles was publicly stoned, often by furious mobs intent on killing him. When his enemies saw that he was a hard man to kill, they tried to ruin his character. For much of 18 years, they kept him in the hands of sheriffs under bail and prison, awaiting suits brought against him by enemies who swore to the most outrageous lies. 32 times his name was called before magistrates in various cities of Illinois and in French Canada, no less than 72 false accusations. But God be thanked, said Charles, every time from the lips of purged witnesses we got the proof that they were swearing falsely at the instigation of their confessors. For God delivered me over and over against the snare of the fowler. The God who is the possessor, the God who is the provider, the God of promise and the God of power, is a God that undergirds you and hides you in the time of trouble. There is a hiding place. And then Moses speaks finally in this time of trouble of his faith. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Moses says, I am covered in my trouble. And let me say, just as that mother hen in that fierce fire broods and covers over them little chicks and gives its life. Glory to God. There was one who faced the fury and the fire and the flames of hell and death and destruction and brooded over you and me to give us eternal life. And we are sheltered under his wings. In my time of trouble, I have a hiding place. He's my fortress. He's my shield against the foe. And in him I put my faith. Brenda Roop said, my way was filled with danger. I felt alone. The enemy had singled me out to do me harm. But then he drew near, my heart filled with fear, but I heard someone near calling me to his side. And I ran under his wings, and there he covered me, and now I can sing. And the enemy still looks for me, but what he can't see is that I'm under my Lord's wings. In time of trouble, I have a hiding place. We'll pick it up next Wednesday. Thank you, Lord, for time to share from the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that I have.